This is Tiffany the Last.
And Mary Jane.
And we're at the Museum of Making Music with
Jason Reeves.
Trying to figure out which way I want this to go. Do I want it to be happy or sad? Fast or slow? Trying to work it out what it is I feel. Do I want to rock you, shock you, soothe you, or move you? I just want to write you in a song.
This is your Vespa experiment event that you've organized yourself. You're a founder of this?
Well, I would say co-founder with a group of people that have worked very hard to put this together. It certainly wasn't all me, but I guess maybe the idea started with Brendan, James, and myself a little while ago. So, yeah. Something like that. It's a big team effort for sure. There's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes to get something like this actually moving.
Well, do you want to sort of explain what this whole experience is about?
Yeah, I mean, well, the vision is to use music and friends to spread the word on treating the earth fairly. You know, I'm not even just in spreading, you know, goodwill towards the environment that we call our home. You know, like, we are trying to use music as a tool to communicate a message of saving the world in any way that we can. You know, it's not necessarily we're not making some massive push to do some incredibly epic thing. We're just trying to do very small things and do them often, and the more that gets done, then they add up to a big thing in the end. So really, it's called an experiment because we're trying to learn, and we are not calling ourselves experts or even claiming that we know what we're doing. You know, this is why I'm trying. That's why we're doing tests, and we should have like lab suits and be recording information, you know, and comparing it. But I plan on doing more of these, and hopefully it can evolve, and over time we'll get it down more and more.
So how can a touring musician, like, what can you do to maybe be more sustainable or go green or be more conscious of what you're doing?
Well, the first thing we're doing is riding on Vespas, and those are pretty much, I mean, they go about 80 miles a gallon or something incredible like that. And the second thing we're doing is we're camping outside in tents instead of staying in hotels, and pretty much using the ocean and rivers as our showers. I mean, I'm not trying to sound gross, but we're trying not to use, you know, modern facilities and stuff like that. And there's a lot of things you can do, like just keeping all the water bottles that you use and recycling them somewhere, because when you're on the road, you drink a lot of water and you have to, and a lot of people just throw the water bottles away, which is just crazy. Those are a couple of the simple things that we're trying to do right now, and beyond that, there's a ton of things you can do. I mean, you can convert your car or your bus, if you have a tour van, into a biodiesel vehicle. I mean, I've heard of a lot of bands that are doing that.
So where are you storing your equipment or your gear?
Well, we have a follow van for, we have a van for like the cameras and the crew and the other people, but it's much smaller and much less than, say, there's three of us, three musicians, there'd usually be three different like tour vans and maybe even a bus. So hopefully I'd eventually like to figure it out to where there wouldn't have to be a follow vehicle, but we can't really carry our instruments on Vespas. It's just not possible.
Yeah.
You're traveling on Vespas, and you sort of talked about this before we started recording, but, I mean, are you guys going to be going on the freeway on your Vespas? I mean, that seems really shady.
Yeah, yeah. No, speaking of that, we had our first freeway experience last night, because you have to take the 5 for that chunk across Camp Pendleton, and it was absolutely horrifying. It was at night; the wind was blowing really strong off the ocean, and I took mine up to about 80 miles an hour, maybe even slightly more, and I was afraid for my life. So, but I actually, if you stay down around 70, it's not bad, and we're going to be taking the freeways, not all the time, but on occasion. Mm-hmm. And the thing about those Vespas is they're 250 cc, so that's pretty much a motorcycle. I thought it's really powerful. Yeah. So they're legal to ride on the freeway and all that. It's just really not comfortable. Yeah.
And you're going all the way up to San Francisco, right?
Yeah, we're going up to San Fran, and then we're turning around and coming back. So that's all we're doing, unfortunately. I wanted to go to Seattle all the way up there, but we'll have to save that for another time.
I'm sort of unfamiliar with your music, but right off the bat, I mean, you can totally call me out and say, no, you're wrong. But I was like, he's like Jason Mraz. I mean, you share the same name, and you've got sort of a playfulness and the singer-songwriter with guitar. And, I mean, you've even worked with Colby. Do you agree with that? Or
I like Jason Mraz a lot. And we were just hanging out in Hawaii writing music, actually. So I'm not going to take offense to you saying that. No, that's a compliment. You know, I've been a fan of him for a long time, ever since his first record. So
can you tell us about the other musicians that are on this experiment with you?
Yeah, the other two musicians traveling with me are Brendan James and Amber Rubarth, and they are just incredible songwriters that both live in New York City, I believe. And I met them, ironically enough, in L.A., but they've just been great friends for a couple years, and or at least a year for Brendan. And I think we all share the same desire to do something like this, and we have adventurous souls, so they just seemed like a perfect fit when I was trying to decide who I wanted to come mm-hmm. with, and fortunately they came. This is going to be really cool, I hope.
Well, I'm curious, because nowadays the music industry and the field is so oversaturated, mm-hmm. and people generally have shorter attention spans nowadays. So how do you keep your music from just becoming background noise?
That is an incredible challenge. I mean, it is very hard to cut through nowadays with the digital revolution and MySpace, YouTube universe that's just been constructed, and literally there's millions of bands as opposed to maybe 100 when there just used to be what you got from the radio or at the record store, you know. And I honestly don't know how to answer how I would see my music cutting through. I just try to write the most honest music I can, and I don't write for any other reason than to get it out of me. I don't have the goal of, you know, I don't have any other motives when I write a song. I don't want to go double platinum or sell, you know, out an arena. So it's hard to answer that question. I just try to write music to be, you know, a reflection of my emotions. And if it can be the extinction of those emotions, then it's even better. I would like the songs to embody the pain or the beauty at that moment, and then let it be exist, you know, just let it exist in the song. I don't know. That's a hard question to answer, and I just answered it very strangely. You know?
So you left Iowa to come to California. Why did you think, or what was the need to come and make music in California rather than stay where in Iowa?
Well, I'd just like to say that not very much recording goes on in Iowa. There's not that many studios and musicians and all that. So I'd been making albums there in somebody's basement or at like the local UAY youth center. They had a recording studio. I made my first album there, actually. But I got a call from a producer in LA, and he asked me if I wanted to come out there to record, and it was just the easiest decision I've ever made. I was like, stay in Iowa City or go to LA and record. And, you know, I went out there right away, and that same exact moment I met Colby, and we started writing music together, and it just turned into something altogether different at that point.
But I can't spell it out for you. No, it's never gonna be that simple. No, I can't spell it out for you. If you just realize what I just realized, then we'd be perfect for each other and we'll never find another. Just realize what I just realized, we'd never have to wonder if we missed out on each other. But it's not the same. No, it's never the same. Don't feel it too.
So would you say LA is a good area? It's not cutthroat like you think of acting.
No. The LA is an incredible, at least for me so far, it's been just an amazing community or family of musicians. Everybody, all of my friends are just A, inspiring, B, beautiful people, and I just, there's no, you know, it's not a competition. We're not at each other's throat or anything like that. I'm sure that might happen in acting more. It's, at least I've heard stories. But, you know, it's a very communal thing. We're all just out to do the same thing, which is play music and be alive. So it's beautiful. I feel like California is the best place to be for that. It doesn't happen the same anywhere else that I've been.
I wanted to get your take on the whole Twitter thing. I know a few weeks ago it was like all over the news, and I noticed on your page you've got a Twitter account. And so how do you feel about the growing reliance on e-communication and that sort of thing?
I really despise it, actually. I sort of have to do all that stuff as my job. You know, like I have those pages like Twitter, Facebook, MySpace. And it's more sort of a marketing thing at this point. You know, if I was just doing it for myself, I wouldn't do it. And it really actually freaks me out quite a bit that we are not even very slowly, we're very quickly transforming into machines to where I very much doubt we'll even talk to each other in 5 years. We will simply walk around with little keypads and type messages that get transmitted directly into our brains. You know what I mean? And it's just really scary to me because the machines are literally taking us over. And we are just not only sitting there watching it and letting it happen, we're being fooled into enjoying it. That's just what I think in a very subdued manner. That's my calm stance on the fact that human beings are literally being taken down. So, anyway.
Interesting. Even though you rely on the written word, you know, you're a writer. I mean, you don't think it's the same thing as if a lot of people were just at their typewriters or writing in their journals?
No, I don't. Because I do that. I mean, I very much believe in writing. I'm not saying writing is invaluable or that anything like that. It's more the fact that with the Twitter and all that, it's more the fact that people are just typing meaningless things, or I'm at the grocery store buying eggs. It just doesn't matter. That's not the same to me as writing something that you're putting your heart into.
Why do you think humans have that need, or they think, I mean, obviously they want to do it, write such little things.
I just think that we're so obsessed with, I think this came to us through pop culture. I think we're just so obsessed with knowing what's going on with these famous people that it probably first started with people just being completely obsessed with knowing what Ashton Kutcher is doing right now at 4 o'clock, you know, and then it just spread over to everybody else where they're like, oh, we can just watch what everybody else is doing too. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't really have an answer. I just feel like there's something really strange about what we're turning into as a race of animals, where we are becoming more concerned about the meaningless details of other people's lives than what's actually happening in our own life. You know, like sitting in front of a computer screen instead of doing something outside or doing something productive for yourself. That's all. Yeah, that kind of scares me a lot.
And you don't think it's a fad? You really think it's going to...
I do think it's not... I think it's here for good. I mean,
especially
I just,
the younger generations.
Well, even me, even the thing that while I'm sitting here telling you how much I hate it is because I realize that it's taking me over too. That even though I fight it and recognize that, I'm still becoming addicted to it. Mm-hmm. If I don't get on the internet for a few days, then it freaks me out. One of the things I'm doing right now for this tour is not using the computer this whole time. These whole 2 weeks I'm not getting on a computer. I didn't bring my computer with me because I, even if it's just 2 weeks, I want to prove to myself that I don't need the internet. And I have withdrawals. Everybody has withdrawals. So that's just some of the proof, I think. I don't know.
Oh, that's a good challenge. Yeah. Something.
Well, maybe to switch gears to something a little more positive.
Yeah.
What was the last truly great thing you saw or heard?
In terms of, you mean...
Just anything. Something that really sticks out.
Well, this morning, Brendan and I wrote a song with 90 elementary school children, and it was a song that had to do with global warming and what we and them, you know, what everybody was going to do to help it. And at the end, we had written a full song, and we had 90 kids singing it with us, and that was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen, actually. And it happened in this building about 2 hours ago, 3 hours ago. So.
Yeah.
And other than that, waking up on a cliff overlooking the Pacific Ocean was pretty astounding. And then we just went and swam in it for a while. And every moment you're in the ocean is a miracle, I believe. So those are three things that have just happened today that I think are some of the most beautiful things I've ever seen or heard.
Well, maybe after this tour is over, what are you looking forward to?
I am looking forward to writing more music. I want to make a new album soon. I don't know how soon that's going to be possible, but I want to get back in the studio, and I'm going to be doing more and more and more and more touring after this in different places. Unfortunately, not on a Vespa. I'm going to probably have to get one now because I'm quickly becoming obsessed. I really don't know if I'm going to like driving a car as much anymore.
Yeah.
It just seems so free. I don't know, you're out there in the world, not confined.
Mm-hmm. So I always close out my interviews with three questions. And the first is, do you have any slang terms that you overuse?
Overuse. Slang. I say that's what she said too much. It's not a slang term, but it's something.
Yeah.
That's something I certainly overuse. So I'll just go with that.
You're a fan of The Office.
Yes, I am.
And what's your drink of choice?
Wow, okay. My drink of choice is probably, if not, well, I'll just say it's a margarita. A very strong margarita, at least half tequila. And if I have it with Lihi Moi powder, which is a dried plum powder from Asia and Hawaii, I guess, over, I think it comes from Thailand or something like that. But I put that in there if I have it, and then that would be my favorite drink.
Wow, I've never heard of that.
I don't know if they have it here, but you should try to find it. Uh-huh. It's Lihi Moi. It's just like red powder. Has an interesting taste.
And how do you feel about eyeliner?
How do I feel about eyeliner on boys or eyeliner in general or eyeliner on women?
You can answer it however you want.
Well, eyeliner has been known to make the eyes pop out of the head. That's what eyeliner is, I think. Me personally, I don't use eyeliner or any makeup products because I just don't care, and I feel like it's strange for guys to wear makeup. But I don't have anything against them wearing it if they do. In fact, some rock stars look quite cool with makeup on.
Yeah.
That's my opinion on it.
Okay.
And do you have any last words for your fans listening, besides that you're not going to be checking your MySpace page and all that?
Well, free yourself from the addiction to machines and go out and fall in love with everything you see that's beautiful and never stop.
And we're piratepods.com. Can you give us your best pirate impression?
Oh, no. I'm a lost boy. I can't do that. I fight pirates. I'm sorry. Not that I would fight you, but I can't do that.
Someone is waiting. Someone who understands exactly how you feel. Exactly how you feel. Someone is dreaming. Someone is hoping just that this will be the day. That this will be the day that you